Well, may the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. This is from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest to God, and I hope that we are made manifest also in your consciences. We are not again commending ourselves to you, but are giving you an occasion to be proud of us, that you may have an answer for those who take pride in appearance and not in heart. For if we are beside ourselves, or if we act like madmen, it is for God. But if we calm down and act like sound men, it is for you. The love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that they who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no man, no person, according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet we now know him thus no longer. Therefore, man, if any man or any person is in Christ, that person is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. I was thinking about, actually was going to teach another word, but when I saw Maya come in, I was reminded of the City of Hope night coming up pretty soon. And the conversation that we had a year ago with the mayor and some of the people, really in the council chamber first, is everybody had these different agendas and I wanted to make things happen. And Maya said, my primary passion is to see the narrative about Selma change, to see things from God's perspective. See, I don't, I pray for people in our city who don't know Jesus, that they will get saved. But I don't get disappointed in unsaved people who see reality through the grid of unsaved people. I figured that people who aren't saved are supposed to act like they aren't saved. They see reality through the grid of an unsaved lens. They see things from a ground level, from an earth's perspective. So I pray for their salvation because I believe when they get saved, what happens to them? Paul said, the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that if one died for all, therefore all died. And then he goes on, I used to live for myself, now I live for God. I don't recognize people according to their flesh anymore. And Paul basically said, the love of Christ controls me. And I tell you how this happened to me. When Christ died for all of humanity died in him. But for those who get born again, that becomes their personal experience. And they're no longer what they used to be. They don't no longer live for themselves, self-centeredness. They're controlled by the love of Christ. And a result of that, they don't see people according to the flesh anymore. He said, we used to see Jesus. I used to see Jesus as just this poor Jewish guy. But once I was converted and the old person had died and the new person became, I don't see him the same and I don't see people the same. It's true. When a person's unsaved, they may have all kind of religious perspectives of Jesus. But once they get saved, they see him totally different. He becomes them personally something totally different than he ever was for them. But what's a heartbreaker is that Christians can't get it. They resist the fact that once you become a believer, if something happened to you that causes you to supernaturally see Jesus different, all the issues of division were also settled in Christ. We should see everybody different. It changes the way we see, not just how we see Jesus. It changes the way we see, period. The person that we used to be, that lived for themselves and saw everything about their own personal benefit, that person died on the cross. I'm now a new person in union with Jesus, and therefore the love of Christ controls me. You see, here's the bottom line is that what my prayer for the church in Selma, the hope for Selma isn't more policemen. The hope for Selma isn't more laws and more committees on violence. Now, could all those things serve as some deterrent a little bit? You know, like putting salt on meat so it won't spoil? Can it slow down or try to resist? Yeah. But the key to Selma is the church. Seeing things through the eyes of Jesus. It's the church that's the light of the world. We're not a light, we're the light of the world. And if you're in union with Christ, you have to understand there's not one element of prejudice or division in the heart or the eyes of Jesus. It's impossible. Whether a person has dark skin or light skin or whatever color of skin or whether a culture is country club culture or not. Well, actually, I don't know how you can justify one of those and be in union with Christ. If my brother can't join, then Jesus can't join, then why would I want to join? My prayer is for revival to be manifest at a greater level. Because it's impossible for a person, if they're being controlled by the love of Christ because they're in union with Him, to see people the same that they used to see them. You don't recognize them according to anything that you used to anymore. You don't recognize them, don't see them, don't discern them, don't judge them based on what they wear, where they came from, what they look like, what their color, their skin is. It's all a manifestation of the union, our union with Christ. And here's the deal. Well, when will racism ever get broken? It was broken 2,000 years ago at the cross. And believers carry that reality. And the greatest tragedy in the world isn't that lost people are carping at each other. It's that saved people are. But we should step back and reevaluate whether or not we're actually born again. Because that person died. I'm now in Christ, and like Paul, I don't recognize anybody like I used to recognize them. You don't see them the same, just like you can't see Jesus the same. You don't see people the same. I love what Francis Frangipane used to say. He used to say, I used to be Italian until I got born again. I used to be white as my identity until I got born again. Now, it just happens to be one of the superfluous consequences of God's creativity that my color of skin happens to be this color of skin, but it's totally irrelevant to my identity. My identity is not in my culture. I have one culture. It's the kingdom of God. My family tree is the cross. There's only one civil war I'm caring about winning, and that's the one for the kingdom of God. I can't identify with any of that nonsense. Because I'm in Christ. I don't recognize anybody according to the flesh anymore. And that's the real thing I cry out for. That's why we proclaim, declare revival over and over again. Because that's what's true about every believer. And it's time believers see that and begin to manifest that, because that's what's the truth about them. That's their true self. That's their true identity. That's what Paul said. You have to understand, Paul was a very conservative. He had memorized the Old Testament. He was a very conservative, Roman-hating, Samaritan-hating, conservative Jew. In the natural. But that guy died. He's now in union with somebody who loves everybody at the same level and sees everybody's heart. That's what Paul talked about. So I pray, I don't know why God wanted me to give this word today, but things like division. I don't care, not just racial division, but division in churches, but things like division based on culture or racism among believers is the most ignorant, stupid thing I think, and I've felt that way for a long, it's unimaginable to me. I remember a long time ago, the first time I spoke in a church that was predominantly African American here, I thought, what should I talk about? I said, well, let's just give the knockout blow and get this one over with. And I said, you know, the deal is I'm a racist. And I want you to know I am. Scripture says in 1 Peter that I'm part of a chosen race. And my prejudice is towards those who are born again. I don't care if your skin's purple polka dotted, green, black, red. That's the one I'm going to lay my life down for first and foremost. There's my loyalty. That's where I'm voting. That's where I'm going to be given to. Now, our desire is to bring everybody else into this race. And my loyalty is to the heart of Jesus. And my prayer is that that scripture becomes a verse like a prophetic trumpet in our city, and that Christians will begin to fall on their knees in repentance of denying who they are as new creations in Christ and continuing in determination to manifest the old fallen false self that recognizes people according to the flesh. Racism is not very hard to overcome. Just own the fact that you gave up that right. You were born again. You're not who you used to be. All that's dead and gone. Just like you don't have a right to lust, you don't have a right for that. That person died. And it's bizarre. It's ridiculous. It's beyond imagination that a New Testament, born-again believer could see through that kind of grid. And the only reason is that the enemy's stealing about our, it all comes back to the cross and our union with Christ. He's the plumb line and he's the measuring stick. And he alone is the one that determines by what we do and how we think, is this normal or not normal? And if Jesus can't think it, you can't tolerate it. If Jesus wouldn't do it, you can't put up with it. Jesus wouldn't say it, you can't speak it. You're in union with him. You don't belong to yourself anymore. You're now part of a borrowed humanity invaded by and resurrected Christ who gave his life for the whole world. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.